Welcome to the Ethos Podcast, where we chat about customer loyalty and the exciting technology that supports it. My name is Matias Marquez, and I'm the CEO of Ethos, a company that is on a mission to elevate engagement for brands and their customers. In this episode, I have the pleasure of chatting with Jess Servillon. Jess has had an exciting career in the field of customer retention, working with explosive brands, which even include heading the customer experience function at Feastables, a food brand created by Mr. Beast. During our chat, we discuss customer acquisition and customer retention strategies. We draw from her experience and delve into what is sustainable to keep customers interested in the long run. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Jess, really excited to have you on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. I think I can call you a top customer retention voice now officially.
Listen, mama, I have made it on the LinkedIn world, right? I woke up to that today.
I haven't seen that on many people's profiles, so I think it's a big deal.
I don't know. Is it a big deal? Like, I don't really know. I feel like I just kind of nerd out on LinkedIn like all the time. And I mean, I'm super stoked about it. I don't know if it's going to change anything for me. I don't really know. Like, I'm still just want to be on LinkedIn and talking about customer journeys and retention like all the time.
Well, I think where I'll agree with LinkedIn on is I do see you as a top customer retention voice. So excited to be chatting with you. Excited to be chatting with you. And why don't we start with this, your story? So tell us about Jess and your story and your career so far. And I think that'll lead us to some really great topics.
Yeah. So funny enough, my story is actually, I actually went to art school. I went to art school and I thought I was going to be an artist. And then I graduated from art school and I didn't want anything to be with art at all. Right. But I had a lot of debt from art school. So I started my career in like a lot of like customer service oriented jobs. Like I worked in banking, I worked in various office positions and like all of these things. And then I eventually moved into like the travel industry. I was worked in like as like a customer success manager in the travel industry. And then eventually I worked in my way into startups. And my first startup that I worked for was a travel tech startup, and then a series of like cyber tech and health tech and ed tech, and then found myself in the e-com industry at Feastables. And that was my very, very first e-com job.
Wow.
I know.
What a first job.
I knew nothing about e-com, and I've learned along the way, to be honest with you.
You know, there's so much to talk about when it comes to Feastables. I mean, the connection to Mr. Beast and the enormous campaigns that have been run. But just for maybe folks who don't know, what is Feastables, and I guess why did Mr. Beast create it?
So Feastables, he decided to start Feastables because he wanted to create a better for you snack company. And so that was essentially like what Feastables was. It was a better for you snack company. The chocolate at the time was only 5 simple ingredients. They are all, you know, no fillers, no crap, right? And enter the starting team. I was 4th employee of Feastables alongside our previous CEO and COO, who both came from RX Bar, who like knew about simple ingredients and knew about how to create a CPG company. And we went out on this adventure to start Feastables.
You know, there's so many questions I have because, you know, when a consumer brand starts or is kind of developing, there's kind of, I mean, I'm oversimplifying it, but there's customer acquisition and there's customer retention, right? And I think with Mr. Beast, I think his X factor is customer acquisition, right? I mean, I think he can get anybody anywhere and a lot of those people to show up. I guess my question is this: how are you seeing it? Were you seeing it as, okay, we're going to get a huge influx of customers, but you know, they'll naturally come back? Or were you seeing it as, hey, we're going to get a huge influx of customers? Oh no, like, how are we going to get them to come back?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like the thing, let's even take a step further back. I remember entering into, I started this conversation with telling you, like, I knew nothing about like e-com, right? So like I joined the networks, I joined the resources, I joined all of these places. And I remember entering into a network. And one of the first things that this network had told me was like, oh, Feastables, that's a really easy customer base or whatever. It was like super rude, right? And I fired back and I was like, yeah, but it's like super easy to acquire the customer all day long, and I can acquire them. But really, the work begins at retention. Like, how do I actually retain this customer and make them continuously come back? And I do think that the Feastables model is like completely different. Like, we didn't have a loyalty program, we didn't have subscriptions, but really what was making the customer come back and building brand loyalty was actually building a brand experience with them and like making it fun, making the e-commerce side fun, making the Twitter accounts fun, like all of these places like very fun to be a part of. And that's how you retain the customers. And then of course, like producing more products, also email marketing, SMS marketing, like all of these like different types of like traditional marketing plays.
So much there. I try to think of, I try to go, okay, what's actually happening here, right? And you said something really interesting. You said, hey, although we didn't have a loyalty program, although we didn't have a subscription, here's how we did customer loyalty. But I would argue that it's not about having a loyalty program specifically. It's not about having a subscription program specifically. It's about making the customer happy and having that emotional connection. And I think that if you like a subscription program or a loyalty platform, these are just tools and things. But what you're actually trying to do is you're trying to make the customer happy and build that emotional connection. And it looks like with Feastables, you didn't. That's how you did it, right? I guess, and I know you talk a lot about this around the emotional connection. How important is that emotional connection, and is it the underlying piece of customer loyalty in general?
So when we think about the customer journey, right? Like you think about like every aspect of your customer journey, you have to have some sort of like emotional connection to your customer to convince them to buy. We're not just buying, like, yes, we buy things because we need things, but you buy from brands specifically because you like that brand. You're connected to that brand, and I want specifically that brand. Like think about cereal, right? There's 100 different cereals on the shelf that you can choose from, but I want to pick the one that I enjoy eating. I like, there's like fun branding a part of it. There's like a fun journey, right? And so my point is Feastables in general, like it's not just the Mr. Beast piece of it. Like, yes, people will come in because they want a piece of that Jimmy pie. They want to feel like very connected to him, but then they stick around because you develop Feastables as a brand. It's brand marketing, it's a brand experience. And you convince them, I hate to say this, but you're convincing your customer to essentially stick around because now I care about what Jimmy is giving me, and he's giving me Feastables, and I can have a piece of that Feastables, that Jimmy pie, if I buy Feastables. That is an emotional connection.
It's such an important piece. I mean, even if you just think of yourself as a customer, and like I'm a customer, and I buy products. I buy products that I identify with. I buy products that make me feel happy. I buy products that I feel like it's not just the price component, right? And I think that we're seeing that with everybody. What's interesting is I saw this in a survey where over a third of the people surveyed defined customer loyalty as willing to purchase something from a brand knowing that there was a cheaper option, right? And I think that that's I think that's a really good definition of customer loyalty, and it's not just going to be price that gets people to feel that way and to make those decisions. What it's going to be is how much people identify with these brands, and I think that's the big thing that I think from the outside looking in, what Jimmy and Mr. I guess what Mr. Beast has done and with Feastables is made people feel a part of the brand, and I find that I think that's the future, and I know you work with brands outside of, and I know you're not longer with Feastables, but you work with other brands. Are you seeing a pattern there? Like, are you seeing that the brands are having success are the ones who are seeing it this way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a hydration company that I like work with, right? And there is, again, like that emotional connection. Like it's an influencer. It's a much smaller scale than like Mr. Beast, but it's an influencer. And like, so the acquisition comes through this individual because this individual has social channels, he has a podcast, he has all these things, right? And then you go and like you purchase the product, which is Taste Salute, from from him as the influencer. His name is Josh. And you go and purchase this product from his brand, but they stick around because it's not just the Josh pie that we're giving. It's because it's a quality product. And you can go and buy the Liquid IV, or you could go and buy like the other ones, but you continuously buy Taste Salud because like there has been innovation and thought put into the product itself, right? Like there's been innovation and thought that have been put into the marketing and the content that this company produces. So, and I know we're talking about creator brands and influencer here, and like, but really this all even comes down to like, I'm a creator. I want to start a brand. One piece of being a creator is developing content, right? That is a consistent piece that goes through with like in the influence and the creator. So then what this example, this Taste Salud example is, all right, so even though it's Josh that brings them in, you stick around because of the innovation and in the product itself. It tastes good. You really like it. Like you like the marketing, but they also put a lot of pieces into content marketing as a whole, like producing really good, like social shorts, like giveaways, like all of these things, because that again is turning Taste Salud into the creator. Does that make sense? And so you're developing out that like, and I know it's like completely different. Like, I mean, I get it. Like creator brands are completely different than like, I don't know, like a general cup, right? Like, but I buy this cup because, and I could go and buy a cheaper version of this cup, but this has a packaging to it. This has something that speaks to me that I want to go and buy. So it's like, it's kind of like, I'm just creating like that. I'm connected to it and I want to buy it in like different aspects. Does that make sense?
It does. And it makes me want to pull at that thread, right? Because you start off by saying they're totally different, but I think there's a convergence happening. I think that consumer brands are starting to look like influencer brands, and influencer brands are starting to look like consumer brands. And what I mean by that is like the creators are naturally going to have content. They're naturally going to draw people in emotionally. But I think the brands that are being successful, you think of the Nikes and the Starbucks and the Apples, like they've kind of become their own like influencers, right? And from that perspective, I think the two worlds are converging in a place where if you want to earn a customer, the customer needs to identify and feel a part of you. Is that right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that principle, and this is completely switching gears, and this has actually nothing to do with e-com, but I think like this has to do with overall consumer behavior, right? I even think you see this play, this content marketing play, this like in becoming an influencer play, even in B2B companies at this point too. Like right now in this moment, think about it in this moment, right? We think about you have this podcast, you're creating a podcast to put content out for your purchasers, your people who want to buy your product, right? Like your not your product. Now I'm saying e-com again, but your features, your tool. That is the word I could not get out of my brain, but go ahead.
Well, I just think people purchase from things they understand and they resonate with. And we're, you take Ethos as an example. We want to help consumer brands create great, loyalty programs. They don't have to call them loyalty programs, but it's really just making their customers smile. And if we can kind of educate where things are going and the importance of making customers feel happy and regularly smiling, I think people will identify with that. So I think you're right. I think it's not just consumer brands. I think it's all brands I don't want to say responsibility, but it's like a part of the whole thing now is you have to explain your positions, why you're doing things, because people aren't just buying the what, they're buying the why. And that transcends influencers, it transcends consumer product brands, it even transcends to B2B brands. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, granted, this is like one medium that we're like talking about that creates that connection, but it proves the point that people want to feel connected to your brand, to your company in order to purchase from you. If you just like try to go out there and put yourself on the shelf, like you're not going to really go anywhere. You know, you have to market it. Like, and it's not about acquisition marketing. It's even retention marketing in different, not just email, SMS.
I think this is a really good kind of hook into loyalty, because if you want a customer to regularly remember you, to feel positive feelings when they think about you, to come back without having to be advertised to, you're not going to get that by just being placed somewhere. You're not going to get that by just offering a bigger discount. It's all the emotional right. things that you're talking about. And what we're doing here at right. Ethos is like, how can we help brands highlight and deliver those things so that they can use those as a loyalty and retention tool, right? And I think that's the big opportunity, right? Because I think it used to be the point where if you just had good placement, you'd be successful. And then it got to the point where if you had enough of a discount, I guess, you could be successful. But now it's kind of like, it's like a mosaic of things that you have to get right. And it's all about showing who the brand is, what the brand stands for, and delighting the customer in right. only the way the brand can delight them. Do you feel like those are the things you're seeing that these brands like Feastables and others are just kind of like naturally getting right?
Yeah, I think I do agree. I think it is something that they're naturally getting right. I also think that it's a little bit about the consumer now is just so hard in the sense that like they're not going to just like be sold to without being convinced, you know? And so, and what I mean by that is that you're competing with like TikTokers and influencers on like social channels that are like, oh, this is the next hottest thing. And it's something that's like cheaply made, right? Like, you know, I was convinced by a TikToker to go purchase this t-shirt. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to buy this shirt. I see the value props in it, all this stuff. And then I buy it. And then I'm like, I get it. And it's like, it's terrible quality. You know, but my point is, though, is that like the needs of the customer just change so differently now that like it's not, yes, it's the piece of like you have to talk to them and you have to be like have that emotional connection, but it's also you have to have like good quality products to stick around as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I think it's like a mosaic of things like table stakes. It's got to be a great product. It's got to work well. And then on top of that, it's like, here's who we are. Here's why we're building this. And here's things that we do that nobody else does. And we're going to offer those things to you and highlight those things to you regularly so that you think about us the next time you're going to purchase, right? It's do you feel like in the time you've been involved with these brands that it has gotten more complex and more challenging?
I think it's gotten way more complex, but I think the reason it's gotten more complex though is because there's so many offerings of different things that you can do. But if you stick to like the tried and true pillars, like loyalty and content and all these things, you don't need 1,000 different apps to get you there. You just need to come up with a strategy of like the pillars and then utilizing those applications to do it. Like, I think that's where the complexity comes in is like, there's all these things always coming at you as a brand. Like, I can improve this and I can improve these things. But if you're not partnering with yourself, like partnering your brand with like applications and tools that actually have intentionality that resonate with you, then it becomes harder. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that's like on from the brand level, but I also think that like, if you don't dumb down your process and like think about it with intentionality, you're going to confuse your customer as well externally. That's my point.
Yeah, I know it's a good one. And I have a question I really want to ask you now, because if you think of your experience with Mr. Beast and Feastables, there was, I mean, at least my view would be that there's like almost like an infinite thing of things you could do. And then he's not in lack of resources. So he could also do a bunch of those things, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think you ended up doing a million things, a million different ways, right? So my question to you would be, if you were starting a consumer brand today, what would be, knowing there's so many options and there's so many different ways you can do attack those options, what would you recommend like as your top three things for these consumer brands to like need to do these things?
Yeah, I think top three, email. I think SMS can come later, at least minimum email, right? Second, some sort of content marketing engine. Like you need to be like, obviously performance creative, like all of those things, right? Like you need to like be out there, right? Cause that's where the world lives. And then third, you need to have some sort of like catcher's mitt. So like some sort of like loyalty. It doesn't necessarily have to be a loyalty program, right? But you need to have some sort of like loyalty of like, okay, I want to continue purchasing from you. So for instance, like one of the brands that I actually work with is, a brand called Fat Milk, and I'm the fractional CMO there. And like, that's exactly how we're starting. It's like, we have the email list, we have the content piece of it, and we're building out And we're building out loyalty, and loyalty can also be in the form of reviews as well. You need some sort of like way to gather like a review, spit back out like, hey, here's some like sort of point system with it. And I think those are your top three loops.
I love it. I mean, I love your top three for so many different reasons, but one, you weren't saying, hey, compete on price. You were like a lot of things you weren't saying were sticking out to me. But you know,
no, but I mean, like, sorry, going into the compete on price piece though, it's like most of the margins on all of this stuff that we produce is so high. Like there's room, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I mean, in a world where is room and you're looking for strategies, you're still not saying, hey, you know, give away some of that margin. What you're saying is effectively, you know, highlight what makes you different and build a community, right? And I love what you said about having a catcher's mitt, because, you know, we talk a lot about here at Ethos about having, it's not about creating a loyalty program. It's about putting what makes you special all in one place for the customer. So the whole like all right. in one place, right? And if your customer can come to one place and it kind of feels like a community for them where they can see things about you, the brand, they can interact with others that love the brand as well, can receive unique benefits and those types of things. I think that's how you can get, I mean, that's a sustainable game that these brands can win. So I love your top three, and I love more importantly, the things that it doesn't include. Maybe I will ask you a question about the more traditional stuff that's been from, I don't want to say from the past, but historically, do you think, like, I still think discounts and I still think price incentives still work for consumer brands. Hence why, you know, the programs we help brands do can offer discounts and these other things. But maybe my question to you is are discounts and like competing on price, is that going away completely?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going away completely at all. I think that like what I'm seeing across the board with like brands is that they're just becoming smarter about it. I mean, I've seen, there's one brand that I work with that is constantly giving a discount. And it's so interesting because initially that was the play of constantly giving a discount, constantly giving like some sort of kickback to purchase the product, which then conditioned that customer to constantly think that they're going to get a discount. Right. So then, cause I, the proportion that I like help with them with is like more of like the CX and retention things. Right. And so I like do a lot of like research into like what's happening in like customer experience and those tickets and all of that. And so anyway, so like what I see a lot of is like a lot of these tickets of like, oh, well, I got this discount on this affiliate, but I also want to get it on my other order. And we're like, it don't work that way. One discount per household, my friends. But because initially it was so conditioned with the customer to like win them over with like giving them a discount, that now the consumer thinks that they can always come back with a discount. Does that make sense? So you're like, they've conditioned that behavior. And now we have to like spin the wheel about like, no, maybe you've purchased it a lot. Let me give you some sort of point system. Let me like put you in the subscription program. That's how you get your discount. Now we have to change their behavior. I think my point is that I think that that brands are becoming wiser to like not heavily offering discounts now at the initial onset of launching, or like just the like even during a continuation of like a product, right? Like it's like being a lot wiser about like what those discounts are and actually like asking for actions in order to give it.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is clearly the direction. I agree. Like I said before, I don't think discounts are going away, because I'm a customer and there's times where I really like a discount, right? But if you're a consumer right. brand, and this is what we tell the consumer brands we work with, is that if you're going to create a loyalty program, you don't want the headline of your loyalty program to be you get a discount, right? Like let's right. build a little community that says, hey, here's where you can come to learn more about us. Here's where you can get exclusive content. Here's where you can get exclusive products. Here's where you can get all this awesome stuff. And yes, discounts at times, right? But if the headline of your loyalty program is, hey, we just discount, I think it's upside down. I think what you need to do is create a loyalty program where you're highlighting all the things that differentiate you, and then delight them with things. And sometimes those things are discounts. I think that is the way. I know Starbucks is moving in that direction. I know Sephora and all these large brands mm-hmm. are all moving in that direction as well. So it is exciting, and it's also one of those things where I think your experience with Mr. Beast and these influencers, it's interesting because they almost got that stuff right initially. Just I don't want to say coincidentally, but kind of just like they started off thinking that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think what's really interesting, and I see this across like a lot of creator brands too. And granted, I think like Mr. Beast like kind of put this on the map and like people are copying it, is the other way to like gain loyalty for better or worse is also if you do some sort of spectacle marketing or some sort of giveaway too. Granted, those customers don't stick around for a long period of time, but it's a good way to get them in the door and get them into your funnels.
Yeah. I mean, no one would know that better than Mr. Beast. So maybe just double click there a little bit and just maybe give some examples and tell us also about the Willy Wonka chocolate factory thing that you did. That falls into that category, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's like the finding the golden ticket and like chocolate, but like, I could talk about that, but like, to be honest with you, what I've seen in like other brands doing, like Ridge does this, Ridge did this, right? They did a big giveaway with Hennessy, like the, I think it's a Bronco truck. I don't know. It's like I'm not a car person, but like not Hennessy the drink, Hennessy a car. Okay. But the point is, to be honest with you, I think this is a really sick program. I could tell you about the Willy Wonka thing, but I think this is a case study that really we should be talking about. Thank you, yeah. So what Ridge did was like, okay, develop out a landing page and say like, hey, for every dollar that you spend, you earn a point. And for every point, you're entered into like a drawing, right? And then if you purchase this product, I don't think the landing page is still up, so I can't bring up the specifics, but if you purchase this bundle, you get this amount of points, right? So then they're like, it's creating that like point type of system and putting these people into more of a raffle, right? But it's driving the incentive to go and make the purchase and like make high ticket purchases in order to earn enough spots into the raffle to then win the big car, right? That's a better way of doing a giveaway, because now you're saying like, it's kind of like a loyalty program in a way, in like a point system loyalty program, because you're saying for every dollar you spend, you get a point, and then you get into this raffle system. Instead of like the Willy Wonka one was like, it's not a Willy Wonka one. Can't say that, but like the factory, the chocolate factory one was like, you purchase this box and you have this random chance of winning by getting a ticket. So yes, people were driving and like purchasing like the product continuously, but by doing it in a more digital fashion than the way Ridge does, you can like, you're signing these people up for your list, right? You're like getting like, it's way more easier like doing it digitally and earning the amount of points and saying per dollar, because then you're driving more incentive to purchase, not just to purchase like one bundle. Does that make sense?
It does. And I love it because, you know, we run programs like that here, and there's examples I can share with you too. Like, you know, two things. One, I think sales dollar volume should translate to points, and points can translate to more of a chance to win the truck or the tickets to the concert or whatever. But what's interesting is I also think that, you know, what we do here is like the benefits these brands offer, let's associate a value with like, if they watch the video, if they engage with your brand outside of just spending. So imagine being able to offer points, not just for dollar spend, but also, hey, because you spent this much, you got this many points. And because you watched this video, because you went to this event, because you participated with us and you engaged with us this way, you got these many points. Therefore, you have this many points in the raffle, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Exactly. And so Taste Salute also does this as well, right? Like it's obviously it's a little bit smaller scale than like Ridge, but Taste Salute is the hydration company that I like do some work with, right? And they again, it's like it's points driven system. And what's really awesome about their program though, is you sign up. So that's like a point, or I forget what the breakdown is, but that's a point. You sign up, there's your list built, right? Then, okay, if you do bonus actions, then you earn more points.
Yeah.
So the bonus actions is like, oh, well, I want to grow my social list. So follow us on social. Oh, I want to sign up. I want to grow my SMS list. Like sign up for our SMS list. Oh, I want to like gain more people into like our funnel. Okay. So then refer people and then you get, and then like, it's all based on points. Like you can do, you know, some things could be 250, some could be 1,000, right? Like, but these bonus actions drive, it's requires the customer to take the action to go and like actually help them list build, right? I like Ridges because it's directly tied to revenue, right? Yeah. But I also like Salutes because if you're trying to grow lists, if you're brand new out there on the market and you need to grow your like list and your funnels to market to people, that is a stellar way before, like, Ridge is a product that's already been on the market. People know it's tried and true, right? But like Saludes is more of an awareness play, you know?
Well, I think when you create a community correctly and they're brand advocates, I think you can incentivize behavior that drives the business. And in some cases, you know, the key metric you want to drive is revenue, which makes a ton of sense. But in other cases, you may say, hey, you know, for this next month, maybe let's drive signups here, or let's try up this kind of engagement. So I think that that's really, really interesting. The second thing I was going to say is, you know, the whole idea of contests for us is really interesting and exciting when we offer them. Because, you know, you think of a brand who is going to run a contest or a raffle. If they run that publicly, they're going to get a bunch of people who show up who are not actually their customers, right? So like, let's say, you know, a brand that we're working with, you know, gets access to like Taylor Swift tickets, and they go, well, if we raffle this stuff off on social media, you're going to get millions of people in the raffle, but like none of them are our customers, or very few are. But if we create a loyalty program and we assign kind of value to the behaviors they're doing, and we give them each like a point or a raffle into this, they're just, their odds are better, right? Because, and who ends up winning is one of your best customers, not just some person who's kind of scrolling through the internet. So I think this is the future, right? I think the future is less you buy 10 cups of coffee, you get the 11th one free, and it's more, oh wow, I'm a part of this brand, I'm getting more entries into a raffle, I'm getting more access, I'm getting more things from them. I mean, I think that's what the Ridge example highlights. Is that a fair kind of view on it?
Absolutely. I think that's a really good example of it. And I just think that like spectacle marketing and like giveaway marketing and like all of those things like do have a time and place. Granted, going back to like what we were saying about discounts though, I don't think you should always do it though. Mm-hmm. I will say find a fine line, you know, maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, because then you're going to just start acquiring these customers that are like kind of worthless.
So you know what's interesting is you have all these things you can do, right? You can do spectacle mm-hmm. marketing, you can do like discounts, you can do promotions, you can do all this kind of stuff. And then you're kind of like at the helm of what you do, right? And this is going to be interesting because I think it's going to tie back to something that you said at the very beginning, which you said you took art and then you didn't have any interest in art. But is it kind of an art? Like, is it kind of like it's less of a science and more, okay, for this particular brand, this is what we need to do. And that feels more like an art than a science. Is that a fair view?
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. I mean, I think this is exactly why, like, I love what it is that I'm doing, because like really art, science, whichever way you want to put it, is like, we're talking about customer journeys. We're talking about customers' journeys. We're talking about what makes a customer tick. Not every brand is the same, right? Like, even though I gave you two examples of like Salud being an influencer brand and Feastables, right, being an influencer brand as well, those are two different types of audiences. So what works for each of those audiences is completely different, right? And it's the same thing, like not even an influencer brand. Like if I'm a cup brand, like I have two cups right here. These are two different types of cups, right? This is a coffee cup and this is a water cup. I'm two different types of audiences, right? But my point is though, is that like it is an art. It is a fucking science, and it's really interesting. It's really interesting. And the last thing, actually, I will leave the audience on this tidbit, okay? It is an art and science. We're talking about all these marketing things. We're talking about building loyalty and acquiring and retaining all this stuff, right? Here's the thing, is like, don't go and take this play and say this is going to work for you. Take the time to actually research your audience before you go into the play. That's my point.
Yeah, no, it's a huge point, because I was going to ask you, other than hiring someone like Jess or hiring you, what can these brands do to do the art form, right? And I think you answered the question, but is there anything else you'd add? Because you have this setup where it's difficult. It requires like an art and science to get it right. Every brand's different. What would you recommend to these brands that don't have a Jess on their team?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, your customer service, customer experience team, support team, whatever you want to call them today, has so much data on your customer. Literally, start with just tagging your conversations that come in through there and start analyzing those conversations that come through there. And then you could see what it is that your customer asks that you're not answering already for them. But the other thing is too, is that'll also tell you who your customer is and like what their behaviors are. So if you don't have time or you don't have the funds to like go and do customer research, you get inquiries all day long from your customer, right? Like in whether it's social or in the support tickets, start there. The other thing that I could do in a very scrappy way, and I have done this, is post-checkout surveys, surveying your customers as a whole, like the customers you do have, what makes them tick? Like ask them information about like what they want to see from you. Take all of that information and start developing out a feedback loop. Like that feedback loop is your customer research into like what, how you're going to do, take your plays that you see all of these other brands are doing. But you got to understand your customer first, and you don't need, like, I'm not trying to put myself out of business here, but you also could be doing this yourself too. That's all I'm saying.
That's awesome. You know, I absolutely love it because it's not only going to do what you were saying, which is like so important. It's also then going to drive you to understand what are the types of benefits you can offer in a loyalty program. Should you offer one, it's going to allow you to like offer things that make your customers happy because you've started by really, really listening to them. So I love that response, Jess. I think you just can't go wrong by going right to the source, which is your actual customers, because they'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They will tell you. You just got to ask them. You just got to ask them. And like, listen, you don't need the fancy tools to do it. Like, don't get me wrong. I've done the fancy tools, but I've also love a good Google Sheet and a good formula. You know, ChatGPT, best friend, will tell you how to quantify and qualitate that information that you're getting. I promise you.
That's awesome. Well, Jess, we can leave it at that. And I loved our conversation. And, you know, even just at the very end there, you make it seem accessible to everybody as well, which is really exciting. It's not just an art form that you've seemed to have really mastered, but it's also something that you can articulate to folks and make it feel not scary and accessible. So thank you for the work you're doing. And yeah, it's been really fun chatting with you.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And if anybody's curious, I'm also dropping my own podcast beginning of March called The Juice with Jess, all about customer journeys.
The Juice with Jess, all about customer journeys. Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to tag that and if there's anything we can do to support that. But Jess, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you enjoyed, please make sure to give us a rating and follow us on whatever platform you listen from. Thanks again for listening. Take care.